Thank you, Austin. Thank you, church, for being here. It is great to see you. I'm so excited to have this opportunity now. Probably turn it down just a little bit. I am thankful to have this opportunity now to be able to share a portion of God's Word with you. And certainly, I appreciate Austin reading from Deuteronomy. What a great chapter of the Bible that is. There the command was given, choose life, right? Choose life. Well, this past Tuesday, we had a young man who decided to choose life, life eternal. What an honor to watch a father baptize a son into Jesus Christ, and where the son then becomes his brother in Christ. And this past Tuesday, Jason and Ashley and some others met up here, and Justin White was baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. He did not know I was going to ask him to do this, but Justin, will you stand up, brother? Welcome to the family of God. Proud of you, man. I really am proud of Justin. I'm proud of all of Jason's boys. They've all made that great decision, and certainly Jason and Ashley, you guys have done a great job with that as well. As we look at life, you know, you can really sum it up with what we're supposed to do in just a couple words. We talked about our purpose, right? Our purpose is here to serve God. We're here to get to heaven, get back to God. Well, we can sum it up. The way to do that is in two words: obey Jesus. I mean, really, that sermon, there's a lot to it, but it really is that simple. And in John chapter 2, you're going to see those words played out. I invite you to join me today in John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11 together. Let's read it together. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman," and let me just say to our young children here, Jesus is not being disrespectful to his mother there. It's just the way that it is recorded and the way that it came across. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, here it is, obey Jesus, right? Whatever he says to you, do it. What a statement. What confidence. We'll break that down a little bit later. Whatever he says to you, do it. Verse 6, Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." They filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, this is such a great story. Of course, it is Jesus' very first public miracle. It is when he's really revealed to all the world as starting in that area of Galilee. And so here's how the story breaks down, though. Jesus isn't ready to do that. Jesus isn't quite ready to reveal himself to all those in Galilee, specifically at this wedding feast, which in the Word's going to spread all of this. But his mother, maybe she doesn't realize that. Maybe she doesn't think about that. But she gets in a bind. You see, Mary gets in a bind because she seems to be in charge of this wedding. Now, weddings at Cana, weddings in Bible times, weddings in this day, they were very, very big social gatherings. And so running out of wine would have been a significant social embarrassment and a potential sign of Mary or whoever else it was, her friends or whoever it may be, being really inhospitable hosts. Again, does Mary really realize everything about Jesus? She knows he's special. She knows she was carrying the Son of God. She knew at 12 years old he was amazing people, and now he's grown up to be 30 years old, and all this is going, I don't know what's going through Mary's head, but I know how anxiety works. I know how when things get turned up and you're in charge of something and they're not going exactly right, you start sweating, you start getting nervous, what are we going to do, what are we going to do? She turned to the one that she knew could do something. And she said, Jesus, we've ran out of wine. Now, of course, Jesus, this is his mother. You know how much he loves his mother because even on the cross, he made sure his mother was cared for. Mother, what does this have to do with me? I came here for the wedding feast. Mother, it's not time yet. It's not time for me to reveal who I am. Now, in between verses 5 and 6 right there, we do not have what was said. Verses 4 and 5, that 6 is when it happens. But we do not have what was said, right? We know what Mary said to Jesus, what she asked of him, and we know Jesus' reply. But something happened between verses 4 and 5 that maybe is not recorded. Maybe she just had the gut feeling. Maybe she just said, okay, he's going to do it. Maybe he gave her like, yes, I'll do it to help you. Whatever it was, here's what she said. Whatever, she turned to those servants and said, whatever he says to you, do it. So what did Jesus tell him to do? He said, fill the water pots. I love that John recorded it. They filled them. They didn't just fill them three quarters of the way. They filled them up to the brim. Why? Because whatever Jesus says, do it. He told them to take them to the master. Draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it, John said. Why did he record that? Because he was showing that they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. What happened when Jesus told them to do that? Well, it was the greatest wine of the day. Perhaps even the greatest that man had ever tasted. You see, this type of faith and insight from Mary, by saying the words, whatever he tells you to do, do it. You know what it does? It reflects her deep faith and understanding of Jesus' divine authority. To have a mentality of whatever Jesus tells me to do, I'm going to do it, that takes a faith. And it doesn't take a shallow faith. It takes a deep faith. It takes a faith that is in the Word. It takes a faith that is spending time in prayer. It takes a faith that doesn't argue about a Bible study or worship. It takes a faith that doesn't make excuses. It takes a faith that if there is a sin problem, they don't wait on others to tell them it's a sin problem. They get it right. You see, that type of mentality, if I'm going to have this type of mentality, whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it, it takes faith and insight. Her statement, Mary's statement, serves as a timeless instruction for all of us as we seek to follow Jesus. Now let's talk about Jesus' obedience. About the obedience to Jesus' command. Mary's instruction highlights the importance of obeying Jesus Christ. Again, the servants, going back to them, fill the water pots. They filled it to the brim. Take it, draw some out, take it to him. They took it to the king. They did what they were supposed to do. The servants at the wedding, they could have questioned it. They could have thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. How are you going to do this? It's just water. But could you imagine as they're watching, as those water pots fill up and Jesus turns this water right before their eyes to wine? How they're starting to think, wow, who is this man? It wasn't just the servants thinking that, though, was it? Those disciples who were with him. Wow, who is this man? They didn't question even, it's amazing to me, when Jesus, again, she told them, do whatever he says. And so when they start filling those water pots up, again, big water pots, right? They're like, what's he going to do? Is he going to put some wine Kool-Aid in there? You know? I mean, what's going through their minds? How's he going to make this? But they did it. They didn't question it. And as a result, they witnessed a miraculous transformation. This miracle of Jesus highlights the blessing and power that can flow when we are obedient to Jesus Christ. Jesus instructed the servants to fill those six water jars with water. Of course, he turned them into wine. The master of the banquet. He was unaware of the miracle, right? He didn't know what was going on. But he declared it the best wine served. That outcome not only saved the wedding celebration that day, but it revealed Jesus' glory and Jesus' power and his authority, and his disciples started to believe. Now, here's what I'd like to do. As we understand the story, as we see the story unfold before our eyes, let's take what Mary said and let's put it into application. As we strive to obey Jesus, what Mary's instruction when she says, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. What does it mean to us? Well, first of all, if we're going to do that, we've got to trust in his wisdom. Mary had all the confidence in the world in Jesus. And I think that's such a beautiful scene. You know, it's amazing as your children grow, the more confidence you start putting in them, the more you trust them, the more you allow them to do things. And you know, I don't have a 30-year-old. Mary did at this point with Jesus, and she just knew that he was in control. Her trust was completely in her son. I mean, that's got to be who we are today. Our trust has to be in the son. Our trust has to be in Jesus Christ. It's that same kind of trust that Abraham had. When Isaac asked him, Father, we've got the rope, we've got the knife, we've got everything we need, where is the sacrifice? That's a great question by Isaac, don't you agree? Isaac's starting to let those wheels turn in his head. What is going on here? You remember Abraham's response? He said, God will provide. Up until the moment that he tied Isaac up, I'm sure he had some questions then, and he starts to bring that knife down. That's the type of trust Abraham had in God. Mary had that trust in her son. She trusted him. Whatever he says to do, you do it. Do we have that kind of trust today? Do we have the trust that God is going to direct our steps? Do we have the trust that no matter what happens in our life, even if we stumble, he's going to be there to catch us when we fall? Do we bring our concerns to him and fully trust that he knows what is best for us? That's a hard one sometimes, right? Because we say, God, we're talking to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. I'm surrendering it all to you, but I'm going to hold on to a little bit of it. I'm just going to hold on to it with just a little finger, just a little touch of my fingers. Or do we fully rely on Him and surrender it all? Trust in Jesus' wisdom. Mary didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, how are you going to work this out? What's your plan?" Okay, can you explain to me? You know, do you need some grapes? Do you need all this? I mean, how are you going to make this work? She didn't say any of that. She just said, "Hey, we don't have any wine." He said, "It's not my time." She says, "Whatever He tells you to do, do it." Do you have that kind of trust today? Second thing, as we look at Mary's insight and we think about what she's thinking when she goes through all this, and we try to apply it to our lives, we've got to have immediate and complete obedience. This goes to the servants. Their prompt and complete obedience resulted in a miracle. In our lives, if we strive to follow Jesus' commands, we've got to do it without hesitation. You know, today, for instance, if there's somebody that needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not going to wait. Like, if you walk the aisle, I'm not going to say, hey, let's wait a couple weeks. When Justin decided to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, it happened that night. Why? Because it was without hesitation. The Ethiopian eunuch asked the question, "Hey, there's water right there. What's stopping me right now?" There was no hesitation. There was no hesitation in the servants. There was no hesitation in Mary. Trust in Jesus and do what He says. And then when you do it completely. Listen, there's no halfway. Halfway doesn't get you anything in life. You want to go to a restaurant today and have halfway decent service? You want to go to a restaurant today and eat a halfway decent meal? You want to have somebody that works for you that turns in a halfway good day? No, we don't want that, neither does God. So why are we giving God our leftovers? What if I ask you to come over to my house and have this meal and I build up this great meal and it's going to be so good and, you know, all this. I've been watching these YouTube videos and I've been getting all these tips and everything else. And when you sit down to eat, I give you some old cold mashed potatoes. It's been in my refrigerator for about 3 weeks. I give you some old cold meatloaf that's been in there about 4 or 5 weeks. I don't have that stuff living in my refrigerator that long. But you're going to be like, this is the worst meal and invite I've ever had because you gave me nothing but old cold leftovers. But that's what we give God all the time, if we're honest with ourselves. Old cold leftovers. Today, if we're going to truly do whatever He says to do, we must do it without hesitation and do it to our fullest. Thirdly, what else do we do with this information? Do whatever He tells you to do. We better expect transformation. That water had no choice. It was going to turn into wine. And not inferior wine, the best wine. Today, if we truly obey Jesus, whatever He tells me to do, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it completely. And I'm going to do it without hesitation. Well, sit back and watch your life because expect it to transform. Why would you surrender? Because you need your life transformed. Because we need to give up this world. We need to give up the nasty things in life. I'm hoping that you're running out of the inferior as we speak. If you're trusting in the inferior, I hope you're running out of it because the best is yet to come if you will surrender to Jesus Christ today. Again, I started this lesson by saying it really isn't hard. God is not the author of confusion. He didn't write the Word of God to confuse us. It simply says, obey Jesus. If we obey the Son, then we obey the Father. So let's put it all together now. Mary's insight here, her instruction in our lives, trust in Jesus' wisdom, do it immediately and completely, expect transformation. What happens when we're transformed? Well, then we need to share it with others. The miracle at Cana. It was a sign that led the disciples to believe in Jesus. It says it right there in verse 11. We're still talking about that miracle 2,000 years later. And if we live long enough and this society lives long enough, I hope we'll talk about it 2,000 more. The reason it's being talked about is because of the significance of it, but also the amazement of it. Jesus can take regular old water and turn it into the best. Jesus can take today your life that maybe has been trusting in the inferior, and He can, through another miracle, what is the miracle? When you're down in that water, God puts you in the blood of Jesus. Through another moment like that, He can transform your life. But what are you going to do with it? If I said to you, hey, Taylor, I know where $1 million is buried. Taylor and me now. But Taylor, don't tell anybody. Well, if I just tell Katie, you know, if I just tell Katie, Katie's like, hey, and you know, we tell Gabe and Elijah because this is going to be exciting, right? And we see how that works, right? We keep telling people. Why? Because we want to share that good news. If I know where a bunch of money's buried, I want to tell somebody. Or if I come into a bunch of money, I want to tell somebody. But when we receive the best news of all, we sit on it. We sit on it. Folks, if we will do it, if we will tell how Jesus has transformed our lives. Listen, we may have some folks out of town because of summer, but that big gap over there won't happen. This gap right here won't happen. Those gaps up there won't happen. This gap, we will fill this place up because the gospel still convicts. The truth still leads people to Jesus Christ. But we've got to tell others. Our obedience and the resulting transformation in our lives will serve as a powerful testimony to others, and it'll draw them to Jesus Christ. So don't forget those four things, but I want to remind you of one other thing. There's critical importance to doing what God commands. God expects obedience. And He deserves our obedience. So, what happens when we are obedient? Number one, obedience demonstrates our love for God. I've been wanting to say this verse all sermon long, and you've probably been saying it in your heads, but I knew it was coming in the sermon. In John 14:15, Jesus simply said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, obedience to God demonstrates our love for God. God wants to know how much you love. And you know that's why He created us? He wanted to know, can I create a creation that will love me? That's why he gave us freedom of choice. You can choose today to not love him. You can choose today to not be obedient to him. So if I'm not obedient to him, do I love him? I think we can put that hand in hand, right? Because obedience does prove love. Today, if we obey Jesus, we will demonstrate our love for God. It's not enough just to profess love. Our actions must reflect our commitment to Him. Secondly, obedience brings blessings. See, it's not, when we hear the word obedience, sometimes it's a negative thought in our head because we may think of boss employee, or maybe we're a child and we think child parent, or a student, teacher. You know, we put all that together and obedience becomes bad, but with God it's not bad. Number one, it shows love, but number two, it brings blessings. James 1:25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We'll look into that perfect law of love and we will obey it, not just hear it, but obey it, do it, James said, you're going to be blessed. Those blessings can be spiritual, they can be emotional, and oftentimes even material. Thirdly, by doing what God tells us to do, obedience leads to spiritual growth. Hebrews 5:14 is very important. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. There comes a point in time in our walk with God that we got to quit drinking milk. Just like in our own children, it comes a point in time when they are not nurtured by their mother or by the formula any longer, it takes solid food. It comes a point in time in our obedience that if we're not growing, then we are not being obedient. Simple as that. You know, I've heard my whole life, well, if you work out too soon, it can stunt your growth. That's not 100% accurate, okay? Spiritually, it's not accurate at all. We need to be working out doing God's commands. It will never stunt our growth. Only thing that will stunt our growth is by not working and doing and being obedient. As we close all this out today, we end where we started. Mary's simple but yet profound instruction. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. It's a timeless call to our faith and to our obedience. In our walk with Christ, we are called to trust His wisdom, obey His commands, and expect transformation in our lives. You see, you get that information, right? We get that information, and now what are we going to do with it? Hey, you know, I believe that Jesus turned that water to wine. I believe that Mary said those things. But what am I going to do with it? Well, Jesus said this, and Austin read it to us earlier. If we do what God tells us to do, we're likened to that wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, as children, we understand that song. We sang it during VBS quite often. We sang it maybe from the time we were in elementary Bible school all the way up. The wise man built his house on the rock. But the foolish man didn't. Today, if your house is collapsed, if your foundation is rocked, if it is sinking, why not do what he says? Obey Jesus. Walk in his ways. Be obedient to him. Build on his foundation. Let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.